to worship with people. It's such a blessing, and so different than a year ago. Yeah, this makes us feel really good. So we're in the last chapters of John, or last section of John, and he started off in the upper room last week, chapter 13, and he's talking to his apostles, his leaders, but through that, he's also talking to us. And everything that he says to them is really for us. The reason we know that is because John wrote it down for us so that we could receive it. And the early church received this message from John's hand, but really from the mouth of Jesus. And we have these teachings that are just an absolute blessing. It's always been one of my most loved sections of Scripture, John 14 through 16, where Jesus lays out our mission, lays out, what he's doing and what that means to us, right? And so, the question for us is, do we understand what Jesus wants from us, what he does for us, and what he wants us to be doing, right? So we begin with, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. As I was looking at this, I always start to question, what's the tense of these verbs? Is it just continual believing? It's actually an imperative. It's a command. So Jesus is telling us, okay, believe in God, believe in me. And that is the foundation of Christianity. It is a faith in Jesus Christ and, of course, God the Father. And we also learn later in this text about the Holy Spirit and his function with us. So the first thing that we're supposed to do is believe. Believe in Jesus and believe in God. And that means our mission is in part to help people to hold on to their faith. We look at the book of Revelation and it's all about these battles and stuff. And basically the enemy wants to take away your faith. He wants you to stop believing. He wants you to believe in something else or give up or, things get hard. You just surrender. But no, we're those people who hold on to Jesus. We encourage people to hold on to Jesus and continue to believe in him. No matter what happens in our life, we hold on and we believe. And so that's the first command that Jesus gives us. The second thing he says here is, and again, there's several points in this chapter, and we're only doing a little part of it today, but in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. The second thing is that basically, heaven is our home, right? Heaven is our home. And that's, we're told in Philippians, set your mind above where Christ is raised, where Christ rules. Our ultimate glory, our ultimate home is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is saying it's big, right? And I love the pictures in Revelation where it shows how big heaven is. You've got literally millions of angels standing around the throne room of God. And then later, you've got millions and millions of saints behind them, right? So you got this huge picture of, and I literally think about it in terms of billions of people standing under the authority and power and glory of God. And Jesus says there's a lot of room in the kingdom of heaven. And if you think about, through the years, how many people have heard the gospel, how many people have called on the name of Jesus to be saved, right? And you take little groups like this, and you multiply them times hundreds and hundreds of thousands and millions through the ages. And of course, the kingdom is huge, and it's awesome, it's beautiful. And he's saying, there's a lot of space. And what's the goal in all the parables? We do parables of the banquet and things like that. God wants to fill that space. That's why we continue to share the gospel. That's why we continue to encourage people to believe in Jesus Christ, because that's how the space gets filled, right? So then he also says, I am going to make ready. I am going to prepare a place for you. Now you think about this. He is about to die. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to be buried, and then he's going to rise from the dead. And the apostles are going to watch as he ascends into heaven. And all of that is intended to prepare a place for us. He says in Revelation, when we see him later talking to John, he says, I am the first and the last and the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Part of preparing the kingdom of heaven was he had to destroy those powers of death and Hades. He had to destroy the power of sin. And so Jesus is preparing a place for us by going through the cross, going through the burial, the resurrection, and ascension into heaven. And now in heaven, he reigns. He rules. It tells us basically that we know that he defeated the dragon in the heavenly realm. And the dragon is cast down to earth. And now there is nothing but God, nothing but Jesus in the realm of heaven. On earth, not so much, because we're still trying to fill that realm. But all of that power, all of that authority, everything that we see that Jesus received as the Son of Man, the one, right, who gets to stand before the Almighty pleading for us, all of that is about filling heaven and him preparing that place for us. And ultimately, he will also eventually finish the job by ending it down here. He will finally destroy all the evil enemies of God on this world and create new heaven, new earth. He is in that process of preparing a place for us. And he says, so I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you to be with you so that you can be with me. It's an amazing thing, folks. Sometimes we struggle because we're walking in flesh and blood. You know, Paul called it vessel made out of clay. You know, we're walking in a world that doesn't recognize God, doesn't acknowledge God, and we're trying to hold on to faith. And we stumble sometimes. We don't always get it right. And the bottom line you have to realize is God wants you to be with Him. He says, "I want you to be where I am." So Jesus has said, the kingdom is huge. I'm going to get it ready, and I want you to be where I am. That's the message of Christ to us. He wants you to be with him. He loves you. When we talk about Jesus loves us, he wants us. He's given himself for us so that we can, find our way, right? And he wants us to be with him. So then he says, Thomas says, well, Lord, we don't know where you're going. In other words, he said, you know the way. He says, you don't know. How can we know the way? How do we know how to get there? And Jesus answered, and this is one of our favorite verses that most of us know. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right? And you think about that, Jesus is the way. Listen, how many times has Jesus told us that when you believe in him, when you confess Jesus Christ, you will receive eternal life? And that, again, is the kingdom. That by believing in Jesus Christ, by following that first command he gave us, believe in me, believe in my Father, believe in me, that creates the way. And by the way, folks, we all know, we should know, there is no other way. There is no other way. God has made a way for us to know how to follow Jesus into the kingdom of heaven. He has given us a gospel. He has given us the word of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit so that we know the way to the kingdom of heaven. That place that he's prepared for us, that place that is welcoming us, right? Jesus says, I am the way. He is also the truth. How many times has Jesus basically told us that, his words are his Father's words? Jesus' word is not just the word of a good guy, not just the word of a good teacher. It is the very word of God. That first thing in the beginning was the word, and that message, the perfect revelation of God. The perfect revelation of God in flesh, walking with us, but speaking to us. And he told Nicodemus, he says, I'm from above, you're from below. My words and my message, they're from God. He tells him later in chapter 5, he says, listen, the words I'm giving you, they are not my words. They are the words of my Father. When we talk about the truth, Jesus is the way, he is the truth. The words that Jesus sanctioned, the word that Jesus gave us are the truth. Look how different the truth is from what's outside. The darkness, you know, Paul calls it the darkness. He says, your truth shines as light in the darkness. The word of God and what we believe and what we hold on to is so different from what comes out of the mouths and television sets and internets and magazines or whatever else is out there. It's so different than what we have, right? We have God's truth. So the way, the truth, and the life. Again, how many times Jesus said, you know, that he said in chapter 5 that the Father had given him power to have life and to give resurrection. He said in chapter 6, I'm the bread of life. Anyone who believes in me, even if he dies, he shall live, right? And he who believes in me will never die, meaning eternal life, right? This is the message of John's gospel over and over and over again. Believing in Jesus Christ brings about life, not life like we have it here. Not life that ends up with weak knees and painful feet and headaches and trouble and eventually, you know, death. Life, being with God forever, the glory of God filling our hearts, our minds, our souls, the body that doesn't rebel against God, everything, that's real life. So Jesus is telling them, listen, you know, the way, the truth, the life, that's how you get to the kingdom. That's how you get to the place that Jesus prepared for you, right? And then he's, you know, he says again, no one comes to the Father except through him. When we believe in Jesus, we believe in Almighty God. And anybody that tries to claim a relationship with God, but not Jesus, just doesn't know who God is. And the worst part about that is they end up worshiping something else, not us. We believe in Jesus. We believe in God. We believe in the kingdom of heaven as our home. And we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And then he says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And then comes the next question. Philip said, well, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, do you not know me, Philip, even after I've been among you so long? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, over and over and over in the Gospel of John. Jesus is the perfect revelation of God the Father. You know, and I would say this to us. Listen, we know Jesus. How do we know Jesus? You know, through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaches us the mind of God. The Word of God teaches us. We know Jesus through the Holy Spirit, and we know God through Jesus, right? And then later he'll tell us we're all tied together with that. Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you show us, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Jesus is just trying to make it as clear as possible. The means to knowing the Father is to know Jesus. And that's our mission. Our mission is to believe, to know God through Jesus Christ, to know the power of salvation through Jesus Christ, right? And he says, believe when I say to you, I am in the Father and the Father's in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles, and it literally works themselves. And we saw this. You know, John made it clear the unity of God in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Good translation. Then he says, and everything that was made by him, Jesus. And we know that. Colossians says the same thing. That Jesus is creator. Jesus is tied so much to the Father. We say there is one God and three persons. That's Trinity. It's not mentioned in the Bible that way, but here it is. It says, basically, I am in the Father. The Father's in me. The words I speak are his. The works I do came from him. If you can't believe, you know, that, then just believe because you saw a lame man, you know, 37 years crippled, get up and walk. You saw a blind man from birth get up. You saw a dead man dead for 4 days, and you saw him get up. Believe in who Jesus is. That's what he's calling us to, right? So again, the unity of God the Father, that Jesus is the way, that Jesus has called us to the kingdom of heaven, and he has called us to have that faith. Then comes, this is the more real mission part of me. He said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing, and he will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Some folks have really just kind of messed this one up, thinking that, okay, if you're not walking around raising the dead, if you're not, you know, healing a crippled person from birth or something like that, if you're not doing those kinds of works, you're not in Christ. But that's not what he's talking about. And indeed, the apostles did see miracles happening to them. And I've seen miracles happen. Not necessarily blind eyes open, but blind souls awakened to know God. That is the greatest miracle of all. When someone comes to know who God is, when someone's soul is awakened, that's a miracle that goes on into eternity. Someone whose eyes are opened up, but they still remain in sin, that only lasts a little while. But what he's talking about here is also the scope of the mission. Jesus was one witness, one person telling the truth about God, bearing witness to who God is, confessing the kingdom of heaven and the means to righteousness, right? Now he goes to be with the Father in heaven, and now you've got apostles, and within, you know, Pentecost, there's 120 witnesses standing out and proclaiming the greatness of God and his glory. And then out of that, there's 3,000 that come to know the Lord. All of a sudden, there's an explosion of faith. By chapter 4 of the book of Acts, you've got 5,000 men, probably 10, 15,000 people worshiping and praising God and asking God to do wonders so they can continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the greater things is, you know, what's the goal? Fill the kingdom of heaven. Fill the kingdom of heaven. One person turns into thousands. Remember what happened in Acts. I'm giving you a brief overview. But what happens in Acts is the church got persecuted. Those 10,000, 15,000 Christians got spread all over. And it says wherever they went, the word of God was proclaimed. The message of Christ was being made known. That's the greater work. And do you know that we are still part of that? Right? We stand in this world, we stand in this age, we stand at this time to proclaim the same gospel that Paul and Peter and those guys that followed Jesus personally, they proclaim the same message we're proclaiming. We're true to the word of God. We're true to what Christ did and what Christ is. And we want people to know and believe in Jesus Christ. So he says, you're going to do greater works than these. And I hope you understand what that means. Then he goes on to say, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Again, a very often misused text. I want to win the lottery. So I prayed and I didn't win the lottery. How can that be true, right? Well, John, I seriously think that people misunderstood this in the gospel. So when John wrote his epistle in 1 John, he clarified it. In John, 1 John 3:21, he says, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his command and do what pleases him. So when I'm asking God, you know, I'm not asking for things of the world or things that will actually do me harm. I'm asking God, you know, what do we pray for? I pray, God, you know, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with your grace and your powers. Fill us, Lord, with an understanding of righteousness and let us be healed from the dangers of sin, Lord, and lead us towards righteousness and not just for ourselves, right? We pray that for others. We're praying right now for the kids that might come to VBS. God, you know, help these young people to have their ears open to you so they can know Jesus Christ and be spared from all the trouble of the world in which they live, right? We ask God, you know, to do things that he's asked us to do. You know, help us, Lord, in our mission. I've been praying for this church. I've been praying for it for 32 years. I've been praying for this church. I've been praying that God would bring people here. And I realized at some point I was praying more for my own glory than I was about what God wanted because, you know, a full church is a lot more fun to be in. But it doesn't matter. What I really want to see is the people God is calling, the people God is leading, to raise them up. Because let me tell you, the kingdom will be filled. The kingdom is going to be filled. God's going to fill every spot, every space that he's ordained. It's going to be filled. And it's going to be filled with people who've heard the gospel and know about Jesus Christ. And we're part of that. We're part of that story. And when we ask God for things, we ask God, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done in my life. Your will be done in the life of these Christian people, Lord, right? That's how we pray. That's how we ask God, to be with us. When you ask God for things like that, what's God saying? He said, I'll do it. Why? Because I want you to do well. Not do well in the world. I've never asked God to do well in the world. I've done fine, but I've never asked God for that. I've asked God to help me be a good pastor, to be a good Christian, to be a good father. I've asked God to help build you up, make you stronger, make you worshipers in spirit and truth. We're praying for those, because those are the things that are near to God's heart. When somebody asks God and says, Lord God, help me do better in my thinking about you. Help me to walk with you better. Of course God's going to answer that question. Of course God's going to do that kind of work, right? Right. So that's what he's talking about. So here's the thing that Jesus lays in front of, the mission that he lays in front of us. You're supposed to only have like 5 points to a sermon, and that's what we got, right? First of all, the command is believe in God and the Son. God, and really, Father, Son, Spirit, the Trinity. Believe in God as God has shown himself to us, right? He is one God, three persons, and believe in them. And that's a command from God. So our command is for us to continue to believe. We can doubt ourselves, right? But don't doubt Jesus. Don't doubt the Father. Don't doubt the plan. Don't doubt if you have the Holy Spirit, that's not a gift from God as a signature of his love for you and his call on your life. The kingdom of God is our home. The reason why Jesus Christ died isn't to make our lives better, and it can make our lives better, but our lives can also be hard, right? The reason Jesus Christ came to call us and to lead us out is so that we could fill the kingdom of God. And what a glorious day that will be. And we know that Jesus is the only way to the kingdom of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, believing what his death accomplished. He suffered for our sin. He paid the price. He rose again from the dead and gives everyone who believes in him life, living. He will lead us all the way to the kingdom of heaven. He is the way. And Jesus' work becomes our work. Proclaiming the gospel, sharing what faith we have, helping one another sometimes just to encourage each other to continue to walk with God. And he's with us all the way to the end. He's with us. He will hear us. He will answer us. He'll give us everything we need as we're walking with him in his will. That's how Jesus begins in just these first few verses of laying out the mission for God's people, for the church, right? And that's what he calls us to. As we come and celebrate the Lord's table, we always remember what Christ has done for us. We always remember how he died for our sins, but he also rose for our righteousness, and he is leading us toward the kingdom of heaven. He's leading us day by day, step by step, toward heaven. Let's prepare our hearts for communion.